And on the line, we got Darren Dreger, our TSN hockey insider. Dregs, how are you?
I'm doing well. Just getting a few things done around the house, around the yard that I've been neglecting through the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Well, yeah, I guess now is the time to get it all done. I guess the busy season's over, although you could argue that the busy season and the hard lifting is about to maybe ramp up in a little bit. But before we get into that, why don't we put a bow on the Cup final for you, Dregs? How dominant of a performance was that Cup final run for the Colorado Avalanche?
Well, it turned out to be dominant, right? I mean, the way it started the first two games, especially game two, how many of us thought that that was going to be a six-game series? I think that we had a healthy enough respect for the Tampa Bay Lightning, for the recent history of the Lightning, to not believe that a sweep was even in the cards. So you knew there'd be pushback. But the way the Avalanche shielded off in game six was impressive to me. And as our friend and colleague Dave Poulin talked about on SportsCenter, it's almost like, and I've repeated this a few times because it's a good line, it's like Tampa got out-Tampa'd by the Colorado Avalanche in terms of, you know, the detail. There were long stretches through the mid part of that hockey game and a good chunk of the third, too, where Tampa just couldn't get anything going. They couldn't sustain any pressure or time in the offensive zone. And that was just based on the commitment of the Colorado Avalanche. So, you know, they deserve the credit. The players deserve the credit. But Jared Bednar and the coaching staff also deserve a slice of that as well. Because had Colorado lost that game, man, then, yeah, we know it's a pick'em scenario in game seven. But I think most of us will also think that then it shifts the momentum heavily in favor of Tampa Bay, given their level of experience.
Dregs, I don't know if you experienced this, you know, covering hockey, but it seems like every year there's a new cup champion and then everyone else is following a new philosophy with their teams, right? Like, we got to do what they're doing. And do you think we're going to see that, you know, next year? Or do you think teams look at it and say, like, you know what, we actually don't have the weapons Colorado has. We're just going to stick to what we do and we're going to make our own, path to the Stanley Cup?
I think it's the latter, Frankie. You know, you played on good teams, and the recipe for success is always similar, right? You need high-quality goaltending, you need top defense, and you better be good up the middle of the ice as forwards. And the teams that don't have top centers are always looking for top centers, and likewise for number one defense or top-pairing guys. And look at the market right now in terms of the goaltending area and how weak that seems to be for Toronto and others, right? So I think that becomes more of the focus because, as Gabe Landeskog said, you know, as part of the celebration, you know, after the Game 6 win, when he was asked about the copycat theory, he's like, yeah, good luck trying to find another Cale Makar.
Yeah.
And honestly, that's sort of what it boils down to. You know, I mean, I wouldn't say that Colorado has every piece of the puzzle, but you know what? Darcy Kuemper deserves some credit, too. Goaltending for the Avalanche deserved the credit.
Yep.
Based on they were good. They didn't have to be great. They were good and gave Colorado, obviously, the opportunity to win. So maybe you can tick that box as well. But to try and chase, I don't think you can do that when you look at the high level of talent that Colorado possesses. But keeping that high level talent in-house on the same team, well, that's going to be a challenge for Joe Sakic and the group there now.
Yeah, there's 10 unrestricted free agents, I think, and a lot of them looking to cash in this offseason.
As they should be.
What do you think that's going to look like for them?
Well, it's going to look the same as it looks for all the other teams that are in a similar predicament. You know, you're looking at some impactful pieces, though. You're looking at Nazem Kadri. You're looking at Nichushkin. You're looking at Burakovsky. You're looking at Josh Manson. You know, Andrew Cogliano was a real nice add for Colorado. Terry Lehkonen, clearly. And look, you got to, again, we're passing credit along here because you have to do that for any Stanley Cup champion. But Sakic put it on the line, didn't he? You know, with some of the pieces that he acquired. He gives up on Justin Barron to acquire Terry Lehkonen. I mean, that's a decent return for Arturi Lehkonen, who, when he was with Montreal Canadiens, I mean, did he strike fear in the hearts of the opposition?
He was a nice player.
He was a nice player. That's what he was. He fit in beautifully in Colorado. No different than the pieces that fit in, like Nick Paul, with the Tampa Bay Lightning. The difference is Colorado won the Stanley Cup. So the names of the guys that we've just talked about here get elevated. And it goes beyond the free agents that Sakic is going to have to contend with. You know, as of July 1st, he can extend Nathan MacKinnon.
Right.
Not saying he will. He has time on his side. What's that deal going to look like? It'll look like whatever Nathan MacKinnon and Pat Brisson want it to look like. Now, you know, MacKinnon's a good team guy. Maybe he leaves a little bit on the table, but how much is a little bit, and what is that term and deal? You know what the term is going to look like, but what's the AAV going to be? So it's unfortunate that we have to tackle the business side so fresh after the Stanley Cup championship and in the midst of these guys in full celebration mode, as they should be, as they deserve to be. But that's the condensed world that we live in because of the pandemic. And draft is looming, and then free agency right after that.
Dregs, earlier in the series, Jared Bednar was talking about the similarities between them and the Leafs. And, you know, he's watching the Leafs series against Tampa. You know, what can the Leafs learn from this run? And you can take it from any point of view. You can take it from management, coaches, players. Like, what do you think? Like, what do you take from this run if you're the Toronto Maple Leafs?
Some similarities, I think, Frankie. I don't know how you feel on this. You know, goaltending feels like it's going to be a question in Toronto, maybe forever, certainly moving forward. And that doesn't mean that they're not going to have decent goaltending. I would submit that Jack Campbell is better than a decent goaltender. But they got to get that deal done, and there's certainly no guarantee they're going to be able to do that. He's earned his right to free agency. He wants to take the contract that's out there that pays him the most, gives him the longest term. He deserves that opportunity. He's not a 25-year-old goalie. So we can understand that. But then if it's not Jack Campbell, who is it? And it's going to be a goalie that people are going to wonder about and wonder whether or not this goalie is going to be a difference maker. So that applies to Colorado. It applies to Toronto. Nathan MacKinnon, you know, we all remember that great soundbite he gave us a year ago when he didn't acknowledge Memorial Cups or some of the past championships that he's been on. He was wallowing in disappointment, just gutted that they had lost, and acknowledged that he hasn't won anything. Well, he meant at the pro level, at the NHL level. I'm sure that to some degree that's how Austin Matthews is starting to feel. Morgan Rielly.
We were hoping so.
Yeah, well, for sure. And look, I mean, the pain and suffering that's required to win the toughest trophy in pro sports to win is real, and it's age old. You know, I'm always reminded of the visuals and hearing the Oilers, you know, from the dynasty years of the 80s talk about how they really didn't know what sacrifice meant until they lost to the Islanders, and they walked by that dressing room and thought that, oh, there's going to be all this grand celebrating and all that, and you see a dozen guys laying outside the dressing room, you know, in the hallway with ice bags and all kinds of stuff, because that was the price that the Islanders were willing to pay to win. And maybe you just have to feel that. You have to be through it until you understand what it means. And, you know, we saw the laundry list of significant injuries that, you know, were disclosed now by the Tampa Bay Lightning, and they fell just short. But that's how you win back-to-back championships and buy for the three-peat. So we'll see. Now let's find out. Does Toronto have the maturity or the intestinal fortitude, let alone the pieces, to get to that highest level?
Yeah, I loved the designation. I think it was McDonough. Mangled finger. That's what the designation for me now. Yeah. Mangled finger. In conversation with our TSN hockey insider, Darren Dreger. Dregs, there was actually a report from Larry Brooks, the New York Post, yesterday about the Devils having some strong interest in Jack Campbell. Could even try to trade for his rights, potentially. Could you see a scenario where the Leafs, if they aren't close to terms with this guy, maybe try and deal his rights away? And what do you think a deal like that could look like?
Yeah, I mean, why wouldn't you, right? If you know that you're not going to be able to bridge a gap, whatever that gap is, you might as well try and get something of value in return. Now, if it's New Jersey, I've heard Buffalo, I've heard a couple of other scenarios. I mean, there's no doubt Jack Campbell is going to have an audience. Of course he is. Again, based on what we already know, and that the goalie market isn't real strong, is it? Be it free agency or via trade. You know, it's a curious situation in New Jersey because I think the Devils would love for Mackenzie Blackwood to just wake up one morning and get it. You know, just what it means to just commit to being as good as he can be. But goaltending is a big question in New Jersey, as it is in Buffalo, as it is in Toronto, as it is in Las Vegas, as it is in Edmonton, as it, I mean, go around the league. I mean, there's so many questions about that. So who's the highest bidder? If Kyle Dubas is willing to listen, and there's no reason why he shouldn't be, can you get a decent draft pick? Can you get a prospect? Can you get a younger player? You're not going to get a package, but you will get something of value if it gets to that stage.
Dregs, the Leafs announced Timothy Liljegren's deal yesterday, and I feel like it came a little bit out of nowhere. There wasn't really any chatter about it, but that could be because the Stanley Cup playoffs is going on. I want to ask you, so he gets $1.4 million, and when I'm looking at it, I'm thinking, well, you have control over the situation because he doesn't have arbitration. He's a restricted free agent, and we've seen teams in that situation in the past just be like, here's your $950. This is as good as it's going to get, and you got to take it, right? So what's, I guess, what's the motivation for them to, like, I guess, overpay a little bit on this one?
Well, because I think they believe that he's going to be a real good player for them. And we've seen signs of it. We haven't seen it consistently. And there would be some reservation on that as well. But the player is banking on himself. He thinks that, you know, in a two-year window, he's going to prove that his value isn't just now at 1.4 times two, but it's going to elevate in a hurry. I'm not so sure of that. I looked at it. I actually thought it was fair, to be honest, Frankie. Yeah. I thought it was fair because you're not buttoned down on a term, and if Liljegren can add that element of consistency to his game, then it might end up looking like a bargain in a year from now.
Right.
It could. And you've got Sandin that you've got to wrestle with. Look, I can tell you that whenever there are trade discussions around the Toronto Maple Leafs, when teams, you know, are kicking tires and looking for what might be available, when it comes to defense, I don't know how many are calling on Timothy Liljegren, with all due respect. But I can tell you that there are a large number of teams that are often inquiring on Rasmus Sandin, right? So anytime Dumas is engaging in a trade conversation that might bring a half-decent or a decent piece to the Toronto Maple Leafs, well, that's the player that teams are often calling about. So to get some of the business done as early as he has with Mark Giordano, an incredible bargain, and this one being a fair deal in term and money, I thought that's good business.
So let me ask you this then. If Liljegren's at 1.4 on 2 years, what does a Sandin contract look like?
Yeah, it's got to be better than that. And,
right?
And if you're Toronto, you're wanting him for longer than 2 years, right? I mean, you can live with that term on Liljegren because you're not quite sure what he is yet. Not to repeat myself, but you think you have an idea, but are you certain of that? And the answer is no. And I'll give you the reminder, it's Travis Dermott.
Right,
you know,
right,
I'm not kicking dirt on Travis Dermott, but I remember when he broke into the National Hockey League, you know, people were tagging him as a potential top four.
Yeah.
And that's not the way it played out.
Well, and he got opportunities to play top four as well.
He 100% did. And that didn't work out for him. And I think they see a similar scenario to Liljegren. I think they think that Sandin is can't miss. So I'd be guessing coming up with a number, but I think Toronto would love to get him on a 4 or 5 year. That would be my guess. Not sure the player is as invested. And players now, even the restricted free agent guys, as we know, have way more swagger and way more clout than they used to have.
Not me.
Right?
Not me, Drake.
Yeah, you missed the window.
I missed that one,
much,
man. Right? I got the old, here's your two-way offer. Take it or don't show up to training camp.
Yes, you did.
Dregs, I look at the group now, though, I guess, without Rasmus Sandin being signed to a contract, still an RFA with the team, but now they've got six NHL defensemen already. Like, do you think these are the six guys that they roll into next year, and maybe Sandin is another player? Or do you think there's still going to be some sort of tinkering this offseason to that blue line?
Yeah, I mean, tinkering is the right word, Mike, because I don't know that there won't be or that there shouldn't be. You know, it doesn't matter where you feel your strengths are. You're always looking to upgrade or improve. And I still believe, based on the number of calls that I have on a daily basis, that it's going to be active in the next few weeks and then beyond. You know, you just know with the pieces in play, with the draft looming in Montreal, that there's going to be ample activity. Now, Toronto may not be in the eye of the storm because they don't really need to be, but, you know, if there's an opportunity to engage, I'm sure Kyle Dubas is going to do that. Again, how is he getting the goaltender? You know, if he doesn't do it in free agency, well, he's obviously going to have to try and make a trade.
Right.
And could that involve something of more significance? And the answer to that is yes, it could. I'm not expecting it. I'm not speculating that it will. But, you know, anytime you can improve your club, you 100% do it. It's always more comfortable when you're developing within because it's not costing you assets. But given the cap situation the Maple Leafs are in, everything that goes around this club, you know, what are they going to look like up front with Mikheyev and others, you know, do a new ticket, all of that. I mean, how can you possibly rule out anything Leaf-related? I don't think you can.
Dregs, I found this a little curious, and you were reporting about Barry Trotz and the Winnipeg Jets and how there was some interest from the Jets' point of view, but I think Trotz wants to, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but spend some time with his family, take a little more time before he makes a decision. So where did the Jets go from here in their coaching search?
Yeah, they're in it right now, Frankie. They're in a week of second interviews and expanding their interview roster, if you will. Winnipeg was deeply disappointed from ownership down that Barry Trotz made the decision that he did, but they respect it, right? I mean, they know that, you know, his father is elderly, so he's spending time with him in Manitoba. You know, he's got family in the United States. He's got a place in BC. You know, so he's been grinding for decades now. So he has an opportunity, and he will be paid by the Islanders for one more year. So he's got the luxury of taking his time. And he told me in a conversation late last week, as the news was breaking, that the fire just isn't burning yet. And, you know, that's the character of Barry Trotz. He wasn't going to accept a wonderful opportunity in Winnipeg unless it was something that he knew he was going to dive headfirst into and give it his all. So if you're not feeling that, and he isn't at the moment, then you've got to be honest and push away. And that's exactly what he did. And the Winnipeg Jets deeply respect that. But we'll see. I mean, you know, Rick Tocchet's still out there. I think he's a good coach. I think he's going to be a nice ad for someone. You know, Jeff Blassel's name has been out there. I wonder about a veteran guy like Rick Bonus. I mean, I don't think Winnipeg has any idea other than they're still in the process.
Well, Dregs, it was a fantastic season. I believe this is the last hit that we'll have with you for the week, so I want to appreciate you. And before you go, actually, might as well give you the floor. Is there any breaking news you want to give us?
Don't think so.
He's going to the driving range today.
I was just trying to
reported
pull
Darren Dreger going to play 18 today. Twilight
no,
round.
No, you know what? I'm actually jumping in the car with my son, Mason. We're going to fishing store.
Oh, and there you go.
Yeah, we're heading west to our place in Manitoba in a couple of weeks, so got a half a day here to get some of my supplies.
Well, this just in, Dreg's picking up some worms. That's the story of the day. Dregs, thank you so much for joining me, and I'm sure we'll chat soon.
All right, guys, have a good one.
All right, there he goes. TSN Hockey Insider, Darren Dreger.